Now, as we come to chapter 4 here of the Song of Solomon, he says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love." Now, this entire chapter is the song of the bridegroom. And this was Solomon's love for this girl that he'd met up in the hill country. Brought her to town, as it were. I guess she had shoes on for the first time. And now wearing lovely dresses, sitting at the table of Solomon. What a privilege she had. And she's rejoicing in it. Now, we today, as believers, as we read this, we see in it that what the Spirit of God was doing was trying to show to us Christ's love for us. And we see in that a very wonderful and personal relationship. Now, I think that you find in this chapter the love of Christ actually for his church today. And his love for the individual believers. This is the love song of the bridegroom, or the love song of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that is quite obvious that that is the thing that he has in mind here, for the very simple reason that if you look, for instance, at verse 7, he's speaking now to the bride, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." Well, is this Christ speaking of the church and of each believer, speaking to you and to me? Yes. Well, that means then we're going to have to get perfect, does it not? Oh, no. Let's turn over to Ephesians, that familiar passage. I've already quoted it several times, but he says here, "As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Now, he's already cleansed us by the blood, and through his sacrifice we have the forgiveness of sins so that there's no charge brought against us. But he's going to sanctify us too and cleanse us. How? Well, with the word of God, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Why? Because he will be the one that will make the church without spot or wrinkle. We'll be seen in Christ or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. It shall be holy and without blemish. And now he can look at the church and say, "Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee." Why? Because he removed the spot as far as the church is concerned and as far as the believer is concerned. Now, let me just lift out several things in this chapter, because from now on I'm having to move a little faster. I gained a little momentum last time, and we'll pick up a little again today. And I trust that you will go through the rest of this marvelous book. Spend time with verses like this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to your heart, and ask the Spirit of God to make it real to you. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon. "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead." Now you will find here a very minute description of this girl. I mean, it describes parts of her body, if you please. And after all, in marriage, there are two extreme viewpoints, I think, today. One is that the emphasis is put upon sex, and the other emphasis is that there's no emphasis put on sex. That it's a high holy state, that sex doesn't become involved, and then the others are treated like they're animals, that we're to live like animals. Well, between those two extreme viewpoints is marriage, and it's when the bridegroom holds the bride in his arms, that's when the love, the physical love, is consummated. Now, here you have that description. And again, It's a minute description. Every young fella has looked into the eyes of some girl and told her what beautiful eyes that she has. I'm sure that we never speak of other members of the body quite like that. I told my wife when I met her, she was a young school teacher, and she had black hair, black as a raven's wing, and dark brown eyes. Now, today, there's some gray in that hair. But back yonder, oh, I want to tell you, I thought it was beautiful, you see. Now, I told her, well, what beautiful hair you have and eyes. I never told her what beautiful big toes that she's got, because I really don't think she's got beautiful big toes. But nevertheless, here is a minute description, and it reveals the fact that today the Lord Jesus Christ not only, my friend, loves you, but the Lord Jesus knows you. Why don't you quit kidding yourself? You're not kidding him at all. And that means you can just go to him and tell him everything that's in your heart. No use trying to cover up. No use trying to use subterfuge. No use trying to beat around the bush. You can tell him everything that's on your heart. Tell him all about your weakness. Tell him about that sin. Tell him about the things that are in your heart and life. And that's the way to deal with these things. I noticed today there's a lot of this gimmickry, and my, how popular it is. People pay money to try to get answers to questions. How do I get rid of an inferiority complex? I have news for you. You don't get rid of it. The Lord Jesus, 1,900 years ago, is the only one that has an answer to that. And as a psychologist told me, a wonderful Christian man out at USC here in Southern California years ago, he said to me, you can't get rid of that inferiority complex, as we psychologists can shift it from one place to another. But the only place you get rid of it is at the cross of Christ. And I'm not sure that a lot of people ought to get rid of the inferiority complex. And I think you ought to have it there until you come to Christ. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless till we come to him. And then there are these questions that you hear today. How can I get rid of an inferiority complex? Well, my friend, I have an answer for you. You don't get rid of that inferiority complex. It's a good thing to have. I'm tired of meeting arrogant, proud Christians today. I wish some of them had a feeling of inferiority. I'd do them good. May I say to you, you don't get rid of it. You rejoice in Christ. I can do all things in Christ that strengtheneth me. Now, friends, none of this gimmickry today, none of these little rules that are being given, that's not the solution. Oh, I know. It'll give you temporary relief. But why don't you take an aspirin tablet? And they cost less than some of these things are costing today. And then someone says, how can I get rid of a bad habit? And I just go and confess, and then I'm back doing it again. Well, let me say to you, he's rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. I'm confident that for years, I went to him 100, I must have gone 200 or 300 times to tell him about something. And you know, he was rich in mercy. And that means he's got a whole lot of it. And it was wonderful to go to him, and yet failure after failure. And you know what? When the time came, he gave the victory in his way, and not by some little gimmickry today that men have worked out, because our Lord moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. And he doesn't always follow your little rule or man's little rule. And you have this wonderful thing. Verse 6, until the day break and the shadows flee away, I'll get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Now, that's the place we need to go for the solution to our problems. The mountain of myrrh is the cross of Christ. Myrrh speaks of his death. And may I say to you, that's where you're going to find comfort today and salvation and help and hope. and to the hill of frankincense. Now, that's his life, not just his earthly life, because we know him no longer after the flesh, Paul says, but we know him now as the glorified Christ and the frankincense. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful, glorious picture that we have here of him. And this is the solution to your problems. That, my friend, is the reason that I keep saying the answer is in the Word of God. It's ignorance of the Word of God that a great many folk are trading on and taking advantage of. And because they know so little, they come up with all kinds of solutions today and not have a broad knowledge of the Word of God. And if you just get into the Word of God and get acquainted with Jesus Christ and sit down at this big round table that we've seen in the Song of Solomon and feast with him and find satisfaction and joy in him. Now, you don't realize, and I don't either for that matter, really how much he loves us today. Will you listen to this? Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart and one of thine eyes with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Now that's verses 9 and 10. And here, he is speaking of the bride. He's speaking of believers. He's speaking of his own. This is how much he loves you today. Oh, it would break your heart and my heart if we knew how much he loved us. And only the Spirit of God, friends, can make this love real to us. We just can't write out a little motto and stick it on our bumper and drive around and say, Jesus loves you. How do you know he loves you? Have you experienced it yourself? Are you conscious of his love right now? Oh, my friend, he loves you. Fall in love with him. And now, will you listen? The bride speaks now and answers. Verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south wind. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. You remember they were there in the upper room? And the Lord Jesus was giving them that wonderful discourse. Began in John 13 and goes on actually through 17. But in John 14, he's interrupted again and again and again by one apostle and then another one. And finally, Judas interrupts him. And have you ever noticed what he said? Judas saith unto him, now this is not Iscariot, the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Judas says, this is wonderful to be here. And you're revealing these wonderful truths concerning yourself. But what about the world outside? And now the bride here, she's getting the message. She says, O north wind. That north wind's cold, and it may cause the bride to get very cold and maybe freeze. But, oh, awake, O north wind. Why? That this spice, this wonderful fragrance, might be blown out to others, and they might enjoy it. Let my beloved come into his garden, eat his pleasant fruits, but let the fragrance of this spread out to the world. And he was gathered yonder in the upper room, eating the Last Supper and the Lord's Supper the first time. And he said, this is to go out. He hadn't forgotten the world. The fragrance is to go out today. And friends, the message should go out.